Okay, like I said, so this will be our second shiur in our discussion on tefillah, and we're going to discuss this week kavana b'tefillah. Okay? What is the role of kavana? So obviously when you have a certain concept, it's really important to define many elements of it. Number one, what it is. Like, what are we talking about, b'chlal? Right? What is kavana? How do we define kavana? And the other point is that we need to define what is its role in the halacha that we may be discussing. I don't know, you're talking about, here's a good one, you know, mitzvah strichas kavana, right, in the most general sense, right? Do you need to have kavana in order to be mekayim a mitzvah? So let's say it happens to be Leil Chamisha Sar of Nisan, right? It's the 15th of Nisan, and there happens to be some random guy who doesn't even know that he's Jewish whatsoever, or he knows he's Jewish and unfortunately doesn't care, and he ends up in some place where he's eating some food. And the food that they happened to serve him was matzah, was he mekayim his mitzvah v'chilas matzah. Okay, so that should depend on mitzvah srichas kavana or mitzvah seinah srichas kavana. Without getting into it, it's actually very interesting. There's a big stira in the, seemingly in the Gemara or in the Rambam. The Rambam seems to paskin when it comes to achilas matzah, your yotze, even though you had no idea, and therefore that's mitzvah seinah srichas kavana, meaning you don't need kavana in order to be mekayim mitzvahs. But the Rambam, when it comes to Hilchos Tekiyas Shofar, he seems to imply that there must be some type of kavana. If you don't have kavana, then you have not fulfilled your mitzvah. You know, if a person is misasik, that's the lashon he uses, a person just blowing the tekiyas, somebody walks by, the Rambam paskins that you've not fulfilled your mitzvah Tekiyas Shofar, that implies that mitzvah Shrichatz Kavana. Okay, all the Nosei Kelim have a lot of fun trying to figure out exactly what the chilik between matzah and Tekiyas Shofar is, but the point is that we see that Kavana is a very important concept throughout the world of Halacha, and specifically vis-a-vis its role and relationship when it comes to other mitzvos. Okay, so that's all way of Hagdama. Let's start. The Gemara Maseches Brachos and Daf Lamed Amid Beis says as follows. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Anira Isi is Rabbi Yana. I did Tzeli v'Hadar Tzeli. What did Rabbi Yana do? He davened, and then he davened again. Armile, Rav Yirmiel, Rav Zeira. So they ask the following question. Why would he do such a thing? Like, why was he davening twice? V'dilma meikar lo kivin daite, u'lebesov kivin daite. Maybe the reason why Rabbi Yanai davened one after the other is because in his first tefillah he did not have kavana, and the second tefillah he did have kavana. Amrile, chaziman gavar av the kasadi alei. Okay, the Gemara ends up rejecting it because of Rabbi Yanai is such a great person, has high stature, so it must be a different reason why he davened multiple times. But what do we see from here? There's a strong implication that kavana is ma'akev tefillah. Why do we see that? Well, because Rav Yanai davened twice. And the Gemara's explanation to why Rav Yanai davened twice was because he did not have kavana in his first tefillah. And therefore that would obligate him and mechayiv him in the second tefillah. We reject it on technical grounds, but fundamentally we see from this Gemara that it seems at least that kavana is ma'akev tefillah. And there's another Gemara seems to imply this as well. Also, Lamanu Mebeis, Va'amar Rabbi Lazar, Olam Yibud Adam Es Atzmo Im Yachal Lechavin Slibo Yispalo V'Mlav Al Yispalo. The Gemara Maseches Brachos also says that according to Rabbi Lazar, the person needs to do some type of cheshbon nefesh. He needs to assess whether he has the ability to have proper kavana during tefillah. If he does, he should daven V'Mlav Al Yispalo. And if he doesn't, then he should not go ahead and daven. So this is consistent with the Gemara with the Memra Rabbi Yochanan about Rabbi Yanai, that tefillah, or rather kavana, is ma'akev tefillah. Without kavana, there is no tefillah. However, we know that there's a Gemara 2 daf later that seems to contradict this. The Gemara says, on daf lamed dalet amud beis, ha-mispalo tzarech she'yichaven eslibo b'kulon. A person who is being mispalo, he needs to have kavana for everything. Ve'im yeinu yachal lechavin b'kulon, yichaven eslibo ba'achas. And if a person can't have kavana for the entirety of davening, it's very long and difficult, lefachot, for one of the brachos, they need to have kavana. Amar Rabbi Chia, Amar Rabbi Safar, Mishum Chad, Devei Rabbi, Ba'avos, what bracha are we referring to? We are referring to the bracha of Avos. Avos is the first bracha that you need to have, and if you have kavana for that, then you have kavana for everything else, and you're good to go. Okay? So we see that this is obviously a contradiction to the two previous Gemaras. The two previous Gemaras seem to imply that kavana is ma'akev for the entire tefillah, right? There is no differentiation mentioned between one bracha versus another bracha. And that's the first Gemara, right? So it would appear as if that Kavanah is ma'akev the entire tefillah. If a person doesn't have Kavanah during, I don't know, Gvuros, they also would have to daven again. But the Gemara Daf Lama Dal Mumbeis is very clear that no, the only time that Kavanah is ma'akev tefillah is specifically in context of the bracha of Avos. Okay. How are we going to understand this Stira in the Gemara? So obviously the Rishonim themselves pick up on this, and we'll start with the Rush. The Rush says, "Am Rabbi Yochanan Irisius, Rabbi Yani the Tzali b'Hadar Tzali, Amr Lei Rabbi Yirmi al Rabbi Zera, V'Dilma lo Chivin Daiti Meikara v'Hasha Chivin Daiti." The Ein Lomar says the Rush, "Tachazi Man Gaver Rabba to come Asadi Alea." Mikan mashma demishalo kiving daita lokal pachos ba'avos shetzarech lachzol es palos. So what does the Rush do? So the Rush actually, he doesn't address it directly, but he does it indirectly, and he kind of slides something in there to let you know what he's talking about. What the Rush does very cleverly and, you know, seamlessly is assume that when Rabbi Yanai needed to daven twice, why did he need to daven twice? Because he didn't have kavanah for avos. So what he was able to do is he resolves the Gemara, the Stira and the Gemaras, by saying that the two Gemaras, which seem to imply you need Kavanah for the entire Tefillah, that's Lav Dafka. No, you don't necessarily need Kavanah for the entire Tefillah. Even just for Avos, that's good enough. Then obviously comes up again in Tosos. Tosos, Meseches Brachos, Lav Dalvin of Beis. He brings it up. Yachal L'chavim Ba'achas Mehen. But he asks a question more directly. Had Amr, Tarmina B'so Perek, He quotes the Maimer Rabbi Eliezer that we said before, a person needs to assess whether they have the proper kavanah. If they do, they can daven. If not, they shouldn't. Says Tosos, what is that referring to? That Gemara also is only referring to one of the brachos. It must be referring to Avos, as was identified on the Gemara Daf Lama Dalet on the base. So, you know, there's a classic way for Rishonim to answer Astira. They say one Gemara is Lav Dafka, and therefore Shalom al Yisrael. Right? Really, the Gemaras are talking about the same thing. You made a diak, or you think that the Gemara was implying that they weren't referring to the same thing. At the end of the day, really, Shalom al Yisrael, everybody's talking about the only tefillah, rather the only bracha that needs kavana. The ikuva is a bracha of Avos. However, obviously, whatever you have, you know, Syrian Gemaras, and, you know, the Bali Tosafin decide to say that the Torah really is Sira. So it comes along the Rambam to our defense and make things complicated, and therefore things get more fun. So let's see what the Rambam says in Hilchos Tefila. This is Kapayim Perek Dalet Halacha Tesvav through Yud Zayin. Let's read it together somewhat quickly, okay? Kavanas Halev Ketzad. What is Kavanas Halev according to the Rambam? Kol Tefila She'inu B'Kavana Inu Tefila. Any Tefila without Kavana is not considered a Tefila. And if you davened without kavana, what must you do? You got to go back and daven again, like, you know, we suggested by Rabbi Yanai. Mata daita mishubeshes v'li b'tarad asr lo espal achi shajra daito. Person who realizes he has something on his mind, and therefore it's difficult for him to focus, you can't daven until you are able to focus. Lafikach therefore, a person who is coming from, you know, on a path, you know, you shouldn't daven right away. Rather, you should wait. Amrach chachamim, you should shlosh yamim achi niach viskari daita v'achik spalo. Okay, so chachamim, what do they do? Or the chachamim say that you should wait 3 days until you're able to probably daven. Ketzad, okay, going on the Rambam. Ketzad hakavana, what's a kavana? Shifino lezibah mikol machshava sobi yira tzatzvakil omid v'fnei yashchina. The kavana, the Rambam now identifying for us, that you have to see yourself as if you're standing before the Shechina. Lefikach tzarech lishi ma'akodem espal kedil chavin eslibo va'achar kach espal benachas u'betachanunim v'lo yase tfilaso kimishe nosei masu yumashlicho v'holeichlo. It says the Rambam, because you got to be omei lefnei ha'shechina, you're omei before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need to have, you know, a lot of focus about this, and therefore tfilah should not be this thing which, you know, your yotzei zayin. Rather, it'd be something which you invest in, and that, you know, it's not some burden that you need to fulfill. Rather, it's something that you should take advantage of. Therefore, you shouldn't be running out of tefillah, like running away from the Kisei HaKavod. That's a bad idea. Wait a moment before you, you know, finish davening. Don't be running out. Okay, what do we see from here? Chassidim Rishonim, they would take 3 hours for tefillah. How would they do that? An hour before tefillah, an hour for tefillah, an hour after tefillah. There we go, 3 hours for tefillah. You do that 3 times 3 because there's 3 tefillahs in the day, right? If my math is right, I think that's 9 hours a day that they were davening, which is a tremendous amount. I believe, if not mistaken, many of the Mefarshim, such as the Sfas Emes and others, asked the Kasha, well, what happened to their Torah? Right? Meaning, if 9 hours a day you're involved in tefillah, so what about Talmud Torah? Okay, well, not for us right now. Okay, a person who is working, you know, his tefillah is a toeva. You have to wait until you're done. A person who is, who drank wine, they're, oh, sorry, I apologize. Shikor, not socher. Shikor, I read that wrong. Somebody who's drunk is not allowed to daven. Because if you do, then their tefillah is a to'eva. But if you drink wine, then it's okay. Easy, shikor. Zeh she'ino yachol daven b'nei ha'melech. Somebody who would be embarrassed to speak before a king. Shiso yachol daven b'nei ha'melech. Ve'ino mishtabesh. And somebody who drank wine is, they could speak in front of the king. He had a glass of wine. That's fine. V'alfa b'kin ho'il v'shasa v'reviyas yayin lo yispala achias r'yeno me'elef. Okay, you shouldn't feel the effects of the wine when you're trying to daven. Okay, so we just went through a lot of halachas in the Rambam, and the Rambam seems to put a lot of focus on kavana in tefillah, correct? Right? Now, does he give you any distinction? Does he give you any qualification about what bracha he's referring to? No, b'chlal not, right? All he's referring to is tefillah as a whole. And like there is no mashmaos whatsoever that he is limiting it to one bracha in particular. Ad kedei kach, right? You need the hour before, the hour afterwards, right? Meaning, think of the whole thrust of that halacha, or that, the minig of the Hasidim Rishonim. The minig of the Hasidim Rishonim does not imply that all you need it for avos, right? It's like the entirety of tefillah that you need kavana for. Okay. However, the Rambam in later on, Parag Yud, Halacha Aleph, tells us something differently. Misha spalavolo kivanas libo yachsi vispalo kavana. Somebody who davened and did not have the proper kavana, they need to go back and do tefillah again. Okay, we already heard this before. Vim kivanas libo bebracha rishona shuv eno tzarech. But if a person had the proper kavana in the first bracha rishona, that is good enough. Misha tabachas mishus brachas rishonas chozer le rosh. Tabachas mishus brachas achronas yachsel lavoda. Okay, does he be making mistakes at different parts of davening, which is not so important for us right now? What do we see for the Rambam later on? He seems to paskin like the Gemara on Lamed Daled, not like the Gemara on Lamed Beis. He paskins that at what point does a person have kavana? Is it ma'akiv his tefillah only for avos, only for the first bracha? But earlier on, he seems to imply, not that way, he seems to pass in Gemara, on Lamed Beis Kipshuto, that tefillah is ma'akiv in every element of davening. Or kavana, rather, is ma'akiv in every element of davening. Oh, give me 1 second. Do you guys see what's going on over here? Do you see the shared screen also? Did I went to a different one? Yes?
You're good.
Okay. No, I mean, this is a different screen, right? And I went with you? Oh, you see the same screen before as it was? Okay. Okay, I don't know why it keeps on popping up. Sorry, give me 1 moment. Okay, great. Give me 1 second. Yeah, what's happening here? Okay. Okay. So, obviously what we need to do is we need to figure out exactly my computer, I apologize, this whole Zoom thing is, my computer's freaking out a little bit. Okay. Obviously what we need to do is we need to figure out exactly how do we resolve this stira in the Rambam. Okay. So let's take a look together. Kabbalik. So Lecha Misha. What does Lecha Misha do? Lecha Misha is just bringing up the actual kasha that we already set out. If you look at, you can look at itself. V'so parak tefilas ha-shachar, mash v'hachi damri sham v'dilma me'ikara lo kivin daito, v'sof kivin daito, kolomer, shem v'hachi chozer v'spal v'inyin ha-kavana, mash v'sof, parak in omdim de li'ikuva, l'bayi shekein omar v'im yochal l'chav, yichav v'im achas man, v'lay dati lama lo eskir rabbi nuzal. Okay, so I don't understand why the Rambam doesn't mention back in parak Dalid this idea of one that only for avos are you ma'akib in your tefillah. Okay, so that's a kasha that we've been asked before. So there are different approaches exactly to how to answer this question. Probably the most famous of them is Reb Chaim. Maybe we'll leave that for then because it's obviously the most fun. We'll start with Reb Avadia. Not that Reb Avadia is not fun, but you know. What does Reb Avadia say? Very simple answer. What does Reb Avadia say? Anybody? Thought? No? Nobody wants to venture what Reb Avadia is getting at? Okay. What Reb Avadia basically says, you know, via Omer, he says that really the Rambam is pashut like the Rush and Tosos. Meaning, the fact that the Rush and Tosos were able to say that the Gemaras weren't contradictions, but were able to work with each other. So the Rambam could do the same thing. So what is the Rambam doing? He's being so make on what he writes later on. The Rambam writes in Perek Yud that feels only Me'akev when it comes to Avos. Okay, so even though he doesn't mention it in Perek Dalet, and it bothers Alecha Mishnah, like Mehicha Tesi, why is he not, mentioning it earlier on? Okay, but Lamaisi does, you know, you got to read the end of the book in order to know, how it ends. You can't just stop in the beginning, so if you read the rest of the Rambam, as we would say, you know, Niyim b'makom achar, Ashir b'makom achar. One place he's more explicit, one place he's not explicit, he's being so much from what he says later on. Okay. It's a fair answer, I think, more when it comes to the Gemara. It's strange, the Rambam was limited in what he was able to write. And, you know, the Rambam sometimes goes out of his way in order to be explicit about what his intentions of reading the Gemara are. And it would be strange for him to spend a tremendous amount of time on Kavanah B'Tfilah in Perek Dalet and not allude to this very important and fundamental point that, by the way, all these ideas of Kavanah B'Tfilah, I'm only referring to Avos, obviously. Right? Meaning it's strange that the Rambam would have mentioned that earlier on, especially since that's at the beginning. Right? Think of, if you're the Rambam, right, you're reorganizing the Gemara. Right, and you're making it better, so you know, easier for people to understand. So, if you want to tell me, in the later halachos, you don't mention the fact that the kavana, which is ma'akev, is only referring to the first bracha, I can live with that, right? Because you initially, when you first introduced, by the way, there's something called kavana in tefillah, it's ma'akev, and we're only referring to avos. And then later on, when you talk about kavana being ma'akev, we know what you're referring to because that's the first time you mention kavana. But it's strange to mention kavana initially, and then completely leave out the fact that I'm only referring to avos, and then hopefully you get to the end of the Rambam, and therefore you realize, oh, taka, what he means is avos. So that's what Reb Avadia says, but it's a bit difficult. I saw an answer in the Rav, and both in like the Igros HaGrid and the Rishimos on Brachos, right? You have different versions of similarly the same Torah about what the Rav was referring to. He also tries to take a stab at this Gemara, and this gets like, you know, very technical, briskerish in terms of his understanding of the Gemara, or rather in terms of the Rambam. And what the Rav attempts to taina is as follows. He said, really, what does the Rambam hold? What does the Rambam hold? The Rambam really holds like the Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis. What does the Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis tell us? That Kavana is Ma'akev the entire Tefillah. Okay, so why does he only say it's, you know, he also paskins a Perek Yud, like the Gemara Daf Lamed Dalet, that's only Ma'akev when it comes to Avos? Says the Rav, because, and this is a fancy trick that briskers like to do, ready? That when a person has Kavana for the first Bracha of Tefillah, you know when that happens? That's Koveya, this Tefillah as a Tefillah Shel Kavana. It sets it in. It locks it in. Because you start that way, and therefore, even if you lose it somewhere along the path, the point is that this is a tefillah that is a chalos kavana. Because it started with the kavana, shel tefillah, therefore we could view the entirety of the tefillah as having kavana. And therefore, you know, the Rav gets his cake and eat it too. It is kavana for the entire tefillah. It is ma'akev. However, what is going to determine whether this is a tefillah shal kavana? The first bracha. Once you have a formal declaration, right, the first time that you do it, you have this idea of kavana that sets it in and locks it in, and therefore the hagdara of the tefillah is a tefillah shal kavana. Okay, that was fancy. Great. That's what the Rav has to say. Rav Chaim used it differently. Rav Chaim, you know, are another, I guess, also brisker approach other than being koveya something. But what Rav Chaim likes to say, which I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with, and it's beautiful on two counts. Number one, because it answers the steer in the Rambam. It also gives us very beautiful insight, al pi hashkafa, into the purpose of tefillah. And what Reb Chaim likes to do is he tries to go back to the original source of, the original idea of kavana. What exactly does kavana mean? So there's two ways that one could have theoretically defined kavana. Kavana could theoretically be peirush hamilim, right? Understanding what you're saying, right? That's the intention of doing something. Right? Let's go back to our matzah model. So, what is kavana when it comes to achilas matzah? When we say mitzvah shrichas kavana, if we hold that way, it, on the one hand, you could say that I have the knowledge that which I'm consuming is matzah. That'd be like one level of kavana, right? And then there'd be another level of kavana of, you know, like we say in the Haggadah, matzah al shuma. Why are we eating matzah? Because we had no time, we were really in b'chipaza, right? That's a very different type of kavana of matzah. It's a much deeper level of kavana of matzah. One is the knowledge that I'm actually consuming something, and you know, it happens to be matzah. And the other one is I have a much deeper understanding and appreciation for what this mitzvah really represents. Says Reb Chaim, in the realm of kavana b'tfila, there are really two ways I would give you this as well. Number one is pirush hamilim. Peirush hamilim is, I have to know what I'm saying. That'd be the same thing as I would say, knowing what I'm eating when it comes to matzah. However, there's a much deeper and much more fundamental element of kavana in tefillah. And what is that? And that's what the Reb Chaim points to. Maybe we could jump back up to the Rambam. What the Rambam himself says explicitly. What does he say? In Perek Dalet, right? This is why it's so beautiful. In Perek Dalet, where the Rambam seems to assume that Kavana B'Tfila is Ma'akev the entire Tfila, how does he define that Kavana? What does the Rambam say? Ketzad hiya Kavana. What is the definition of Kavana? Sheyifnes libo mikola machshavos. That a person has to remove himself from all foreign thoughts. V'yira atzmo kiyuv. And he must feel as if he's standing before the Ribono Shalom. He must feel that he's, you know, inside Lifnai Lifnim and say inside the Kisei HaKavod, asking and davening and praising the Ribono Shalom. That, says Reb Chaim, is Ma'akev the entire tefillah. However, what other kavanah are we referring to? We said the kavanah Peirush Hamilim. The kavanah Peirush Hamilim. That kavana is only ma'akev when it comes to the bracha of avos. So what is Reb Chaim doing? He's pulling a tzvei dinim. There's two dinim in tefillah. On the one hand, we have kavana of peirush hamilim. That is what the Rambam is talking about in Perek Yud. That's ma'akev only for the bracha of avos. But the kavana of omid lifnei hamelech, according to the Rambam, according to Reb Chaim, that is something which is ma'akev the entirety of tefillah. Reb Chaim goes even further. He says, because tefillah, by definition, is the recognition that you're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, if a person has a lapse in his kavana of amid lefnei hamelech, that you're omid lefnei hashchina, he says, that's not even called tefillah. That's misasek. That's just saying words. There's something fundamentally missing to your tefillah. There's something which, you know, doesn't exist, right? It's ma'aki to the point that that's not called the ma'isa tefillah. And that's how Reb Chaim gets out of the steer in the Rambam, that there's tzvei dinim in kavana. Kavana of peirush hamilim is ma'akev just for avos. The kavana of omi lefnei hashlina, that is something which is ma'akev for the entirety of the tefillah. And the hashkafa behind this in the machshav is quite beautiful, that oftentimes when we feel the mitzvos could be maybe burdensome, or we're not overly inspired to perform them, but we feel a mode of trying to be yotzei, to be mekayim them, because you know, to the best of our ability. Do we know the story with the Kutzker? Okay, quick story with the Kutzker about this. Rav Leibel Eger, I guess this is in the middle of the conversion from being a Litvak to a Chassid, was hanging out in the Kutzker Beis Medrash, and he gets there early in the morning, and it's Vasikin, and he gets there, he puts on his talis as well, and he davens the Vasikin minyan, and he sees that there's a Chassid who came even before he did, and he was sitting by the window with his talis and tefillin, just staring out the window. Vasikin comes, guy doesn't put on his talis and tefillin. Okay, next minyan comes, doesn't put on his talis and tefillin. Rav Leger sitting there, and he's learning the Beis Medrash, and he sees this guy just staring by the window. Next minute, Chatzos comes. The entire thing, and he doesn't budge, he's just staring out the window. All of a sudden, 5 minutes before Shkia, quickly, the Chassid wraps his tefillin, puts on his talis and tefillin, quickly davens, and then, you know, unwraps him. Rav Leger is like shocked. He's like, goes on to him, he's like, I don't get it, you've been here all day. Why didn't you put it on your talis and tefillin earlier? Like, what were you doing? So he said, I'll tell you something. He said that my Rebbe, the Kutzker, said that anybody who davened today because they davened yesterday is a Rasha Gamor. And therefore, what was I doing? I was trying to get myself to the point where I was davening today, not because I just davened yesterday, because I honestly wanted to daven today, and I couldn't get to myself to that place. I mamish couldn't do it. I tried, I was contemplating, I was doing this bonus, I was trying to get myself to a place where I felt the need to daven today, not because of what I had, because I davened yesterday. So Rav Leibel looks at him and says, okay, well, if you didn't get there, so then why did you put on your talis and tefillin 5 minutes before Shkia? Like, what were you doing anyways? So he said, oh, because better to be a Rasha Gamor than somebody, you know, who doesn't put on talis and tefillin. Right? Like, in a chanami, like, I couldn't get to the point of where I needed to be, but lamaisa, you know, I still have a chrayus upon myself. Okay, why am I telling this story? Okay, this is like somewhat connected. Maybe we'll come and darshan it back in the end. But lamaisa, the point is that tefillah is not this thing where you just do it because you did it yesterday. I mean, that might be fine within the realm of aslidvakim. But the point is that it can't be something which you're not thinking about. It can't be something which you don't have the recognition that you're omid l'tnei yeshchina. Otherwise, you're chaser in the tefillah. It's not called the tefillah, according to Reb Chaim. And that's like very powerful and important for all of us. You know, we daven three times a day. It sometimes becomes monotonous, it becomes rote, it becomes, you know, something which is somewhat stale. And therefore, what we need to make sure is that we don't drift off and we don't let our minds wander to the point where we're not actually focusing on what tefillah is really all about. Okay, there's a couple of very quick, yeah? Okay, so sorry, apologize, Alicia, I hear what you're saying. To be clear, I may have not been clear. Reb Chaim's not saying that in Avos all you need is Perish Hamilim. He's saying that's the only time that you need the Kavanah Perish Hamilim, but certainly you need Kavanah of Omid Lebnei Ashkina. So let me stop you there, Alicia. It's not that we only need Peir Shamilim for Avos. That's the only time that we need Peir Shamilim, but we also need Omid L'Fnei Ashkina.
I thought Omid L'Fnei Ashkina is like Milim plus, basically. Meaning that, like, I understand, like, meaning if I'm really in the moment, if I'm really, like, in the moment, I'm obviously, like, looking at words and, like, I'm getting the deeper meaning of those words, not just, like, the translation of it.
Right, so meaning the point's like this. Let's say a person, you know, his Hebrew is not great, especially his rabbinic Hebrew is not great, and, you know, he mamash doesn't understand all the words in tefillah, or not even all the words. What?
Not me, because I'm Israeli.
Not you, Alicia, because you are Israeli. Exactly. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. We, you know, you help us out in times of need. But I don't know, there are parts of, you know, there are words in tefillah that we may not understand. Or let's say I know that, like, Barech Aleinu is about Parnasa, but I don't have, like, the actual taich on all the words, right? So the kavana of Omid Lifnei Ashlina is, will get me through that. I understand that, like, I'm Omid Lifnei Ashlina, that I understand that I'm davening to Hashem, and I'm asking Him for things, even if I'm not exactly sure what I'm asking Him for. I know at one point I maybe want to ask Him about kavana, but, like, I don't know what I'm saying now, but I know that these are the words that Chazal told me to say when I'm standing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I know that I'm standing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore I'm saying these words. So, whether I understand the words or not, it's true, the highest level is having both. You know, obviously, I mean, Reb Chaim's not saying that one should dafka not understand what they're saying after Avos. But in terms of what's Ma'akev, so that surface level of Avos is Ma'akev, of Pirshim was Ma'akev for Avos, plus you need Omid Lifnei Ashlina. And then for the rest of the Tefillah, you need that constant awareness that whether I know what I'm saying or not, I'm standing for the Ribono Shalom. And that is fundamental to the Tefillah itself, that if I don't have it, then I'm not Yotzei B'chlal. Make sense? Correct, they're mutually exclusive, right? Meaning, I don't need the one without the other, even though I would like them to come, both come simultaneously. Okay. I would go on to, you know, analyze the Shulchan Aruch itself and what the Mishnah Berurah says, but we seemingly are running out of time, and I don't want to go up against the clock. But there, you know, there's interesting halacha lemaisa discussions about this. Let's say I don't have kavana. There's a Chai Adam that says that even if I don't have kavana for Avos, I can continue to daven. The Kilos Yaakov and Rosh Hashanah Zalman has an interesting take on that Chai Adam. Whether it fits in the Chayim, I'll leave it up for you to decide. Either such way, it was gavaldic learning with everybody, and I hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful week.